This is the Tony Dilt Podcast.
My guest is radio producer Ekemini Joseph. You have 30 seconds to pitch Ekemini Joseph. Go.
Hi guys, my name is Ekemini Joseph. People prefer to call me EK on your radio. I am a travel lover. I travel and I write. I share stories of my trips, and I do radio broadcasting, majorly development communication, and of course, I do digital marketing. That's exactly who I am in 30 seconds. Is it more than 30 seconds? It's not up to 30 seconds. I don't know, but that's actually who I am. I'm just an embodiment of different things. I do different stuff, radio production, drama production precisely, and I write about it. I share my stories, and of course, I do digital marketing. That is who I am.
Why radio?
Well, I grew up listening to radio a lot. My father had a radio set that had about 12 batteries, 12 to 24 batteries thereabouts then, and used to use electricity to power. Growing up, I used to listen a lot to radio, especially on weekends when my dad was always around. And I got to listen to a lot of AM radios plus the FM radio. I can remember growing up, traveling with my dad, we used to listen to a lot of Radio Akwa Ibom, AKBC. And I used to listen to a whole lot of other programs on AM radio and FM. And at a point, I realized that probably radio is calling me, right? Because I can remember way back 2004, thereabouts, when there was a radio drama series that was playing every weekend, and I used to listen to them a lot because my dad was making a conscious effort to make us listen to these dramas a lot. So I used to listen to the radio dramas a lot, and I started writing. I can't remember how it started, but I remember I used to write out what they say. At the same time, we used to record, we used to record presenters, OAPs, way back then, they used to call them DCAs, right? Doing their own stuff, record them on tape, and then rewind it to write, to do exactly as they do. I can remember growing up that I used to play a lot with my dad, cufflinks, right? The shirt button thingy, cufflinks, right? Where we keep it and we make it look like a microphone, and then we try to speak into it, right, as if we're presenting. So I grew up a lot feeling that, and plus having friends of the family who were actually into media doing radio, it was much for a push as a young person, as a child, that I wanted to be part of the industry. But clearly, to be very sincere, truthfully, I never knew I'm going to be in radio. I knew that I had the passion, the love for writing, for doing all of these things, but I never knew I'm going to end up in radio. Actually, I wanted to be a medical doctor, but lost out on the way, didn't do any of those. I never even went into the journey at all. And then I found myself here doing radio.
How did you get into radio?
How did I get into radio? Truthfully, writing got me into radio. So I can remember way back then when I was done with my SSC, I started scouting for radio stations I listened to most. I was constantly listening to one of the most amazing stations in the South, Southeast. That was Payseta FM in Umoya, Umoya in Abia State. I used to listen to a lot of those presenters, Uche Igwe, Blessing Du, Pisagu, and the rest of them. So I built the interest in media, and I used to write for a program, my very first stuff that I have done, right? I used to write for a program called Weekend Splash, Peseta FM. It used to happen every Saturday. I used to write content for that program. That's how I got into radio, right? And I realized that at other points, I also got into radio by writing. Right, I can remember once. I've done these things with Radio Nigeria, Peseta FM for a while, and then I was working in an hospital, right, a very small clinic. Then one day I got a call because I was trying to ask my auntie about what it would take for me to get myself into radio, right, to be part of the industry. And my auntie told me that when there's an opening, when there's an opportunity, she's going to reach out to me. So one day she called me in an afternoon and asked me to come to the station within some minutes, and I had to leave, get myself to their station, and then they did an audition for me. Sadly, I didn't pass that audition, but she still had me in mind. Meanwhile, I was still writing. At this point, I was also writing for Radio Nigeria Atlantic FM. It was a flagship station in the South. So I started writing for them. A very early morning show, you know. You get to these producers, people who are producing this show, find them on social media, try to talk to them. Look, I can give you content and stuff and all of that. And I started writing content for this programming. When I got writing content for this programming, it didn't really get me into mainstream radio, like got me into being part of the family. I was just that guy there giving ideas, sharing stuff, giving in content, right? So all they did was create, thank you very much, Ekemini Joseph gave us this, or he wrote this, and you know how that goes, right? But one day I brought up a radio drama idea, and as I got myself into radio, so first of all, I was a keen listener, right? And I got the interest, then I got in. So I came to write the first radio drama. Then I realized, look, man, you're made for production. That's how I started. That's how I got myself into radio writing. So ever since then, I've been able to work with other radio stations across the globe. I've worked with HCCR Radio in UK. I've done something with Joy FM in Ghana. I've worked with a radio station in Kenya, creating content, doing production for them, and all of that. And of course, I've also assisted in doing a couple of other things right here in Nigeria. So basically, writing got me into radio. Writing has always got me into radio. And I know if I live wherever I am, I'm still going to get myself into another radio station via writing. That's just what it is. Yeah.
Who were or are your biggest radio influences?
My biggest influence. Oh my God. For one, right, I didn't listen to a lot of... I didn't get into radio because of entertainment, okay? I got into radio because I had this ability to write. So I saw an opportunity and I grabbed it with my two hands. That's how I got into radio. But influence, I used to listen a lot to Eshet Rockefeller and Sudo. Rockefeller is actually one of the most amazing entertainment guys in the States, where I grew up. I grew up in Calabar. And of course, growing up in Calabar, we listened to a lot of AKBC. That's Radio Akwa Ibom, right? Even when there was CRBC. CRBC was for the young games, you know, play music, have fun, and do all of those stuff. But I used to listen to Rockefeller, Eshet Rockefeller. And I used to listen to DJ Dolly Popman. He was a DJ who actually did much of the mid-morning bells shows, right? So I used to listen a lot to him. It was a good influence at a point. Yeah, I listened to them a lot. So basically, I didn't have a favorite. Right, I didn't have someone I say, oh, this is my favorite person on radio. No, I didn't. But I listened to a lot of people up until now, actually. I still listen to a lot of people. I still try to figure out what they do. I listen to everybody's production, which is my major core. I listen to a lot of people's production so I can actually know where I'm not doing well and where I can make some changes to.
What's more challenging for you, radio production or radio presentation?
Production or presentation? This is a very tough one, actually. When I got into radio, right, I had a stint with, aside from writing, which is production, easily for me. I write easily for me. I can create this content very easily for me. It was very easy. I got into presentation. God, I didn't like the sound of my voice. You know, while I was trying to get myself into radio and doing all of this stuff, I didn't really like the sound of my voice. Yeah, I started with the Marant. It was a recorder given by BBC Media Action to University of Uyo students. I have a friend, Okoedet is his name. Shout out to Okoedet. He's the first person who actually made me touch a Marant. I grew up to see a recorder in my house. Our dad had a recorder, but we never got to use it. It used tape, Yeah, so we never got to use it as kids. I didn't know where to get the tapes. I didn't know what to do with it. But I don't know how the old man used to use it, so I never mind. But it's all gone. But I got a recorder from Uko called the Marantz. We used to record poetry together, poems, right? University of Uyo. I wasn't a student of University of Uyo, but I used to go around. Go to the radio stations. I've swept the radio station. I have tried going on radio one day, and I was yanked up. That's a story for another day. Okay. Basically, presentation is quite difficult, you know. It might look like a walk in the park for a lot of people, especially when you have you know, big people in the industry, or you have people who how do I put it? People who listen to you a lot, and then they call you, and they are probably professors in university teaching, and they call you and say you pronounce something wrongly. Yeah. So that is part of the challenges that we face in presentation. But production, Omo, production is a sweet spot for me. But to be very sincere, it's quite difficult. It's tactical, right? It's tactical to do. But which one is more challenging to me? If we're looking at the challenges in terms of which one do I not like most, I would say I wouldn't want to be doing more of presentation now. I would really love to do more of the production, because I love production more. I love challenges, you know. I've done radio dramas, I've done jingles, I've done promos, I have done station imaging, I have done a lot of stuff, documentaries. Each and every one of them are not the same. So the moment I see that something new, something challenging is there, it's sweet, so you be. So basically, I just try as much as I can to enjoy as it flows. So I don't really know which one is more challenging for me right now. Yeah.
What radio formats do you prefer working in, and why?
As well as Nigeria is not really so sure of the radio formats they are running, right? We know now, and of course, these days we don't see urban radio, we don't see family radio, we don't see people self. They try to do number one pigeon with a BTOC station and the rest. But true, listening to radio stations across the world, I realized that I love CHR so much. I love CHR so much. Contemporary, it's radio. Well, it's so sweet, you know. Doing imaging for CHR radio stations are very amazing. Like, it's so lovely. I prefer CHR because, of course, good music, great talk. Everybody feels vibey. But in Nigeria, well, whatever the case, I love CHR a lot. I love CHR more than talk radio. Yeah, that's the format I prefer.
Ekemini, help me out with this. What does it take to be a good producer, a good radio producer?
Oh, to be a good radio producer, I have learned one thing, that you need to listen very well. You need to use your ear very well. Hear something well. It's number one stuff that you need to know. You need to have that jam, you know. You need to be able to pick sound, understand sound. What exactly is this sound? Is this rain or is it water from a shower? Understand the difference. That's the first thing, you know, your sound. You need to listen attentively, be able to pick sound, know what it is. One. Number two, you need to read very well. Omo, read everything. Read everything that comes across you. Read. Read as much as possible. Number three, for me, what makes someone a good producer? You need to understand your tools, right? Use your tools properly. If you are able to use your tools properly, you are going to be able to succeed. You're going to be able to come off as a good producer, right? So these tools are actually something that you need to know how to use well, properly. And when you're able to use them properly, then you are a good producer. And again, you need to relate to people a lot, right? If you're able to relate to people a lot well, you're able to find natural elements in your production. Because somehow, if you don't use natural elements in production, you're wasting your time. You are just there. It's bare. You know, natural elements is going to help your production go as far as possible, and that will make you a good producer. Okay, so you need to have interpersonal relationship with people, and if you want to be a good radio producer, of course, you need to do that. You need to understand people. Because if you understand people, it's easier to work with them. It's easier to have that natural flow. Right? So you listen to a lot of programs and there is no connect. Being a good radio producer, you need to be able to relate well with these people, with your presenters, so you can have that connect with their linking and stuff. Yeah.
Let's talk about radio drama. Well, not too long ago, it was thought to be a dying element of radio, but you seem to be succeeding with it. Yeah, share your story.
Oh boy, radio drama. Hey, radio dramas are like the theater of the mind for me. Yeah, theater of the mind, because radio on its own, it's a blind medium. You can't see nobody, but you listen and you feel and you engage. That's what I love about radio dramas, right? It's actually one element of radio that I have loved so much. I go into the environment, I see what people are passing through. I come back, sit down with the team, brainstorm, we write a story. We form it into a script. We cast people as characters and we give them the script. And then the voice, they act it, they live these stories. And it comes out fine. I feel so excited. Like, I feel so happy about it, you know. Radio drama is like, something I love so much. It's something in media that I think I should focus on more, right? I don't know. I just love radio dramas. You know, growing up as a child and listening to Story, 2005 is when Story began, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, because I remember 2005, I used to listen a lot to Story. But growing up to see Story and learning a lot from Story. I learned from listening, right? I've not had formal training around writing dramas or producing dramas. I learned by listening. So radio dramas has been very, very amazing for me. So yeah, I love radio drama a lot, you know, especially the writing, the going to communities, finding the stories, coming down, pinning it, making it natural. It's just amazing. Come on. It's just amazing.
What's your approach to a radio drama production?
My approach to radio drama production, I don't know, but much like some filmmakers in Nigeria, I think I weigh a lot of heart. Yeah, I weigh a lot of heart. For instance, I write, I script. Right? Like, I write down the stories, I script the story, I cast, I can bring in people here, they do audition and I cast them. Okay, you are fitting for this part. No, you're not really fitting for this part. Excuse me. Let's find someone else that's fitting for this part, right? I cast. And I am also doing the work of a recordist, meaning I carry the microphone, I carry the recorder, I bring up a system, I set up this the recording units, and I record the drama. I do that too. And I come back and I produce. I edit, I package, I add sound. I do sound design for the drama sometimes, even though I don't really want to be doing them again. I want to give it out to someone else, you know, build up the system so that we know that, oh, look, it's not just filmmaking, right? This is like doing filmmaking for the years. People should listen to this. They don't watch it. They don't see it, right? So that's basically my approach to it. My approach is very simple. The approach for me for radio drama is to first find a problem, find natural stories around them, write, cast people, record, and then produce. Then we have in our organization, Made for Radio, right? We produce contents like this for NGOs. We produce contents like this for organizations that want to pass a message around social and behavioral change, right? So it takes a lot of work than just doing an entertainment drama. If I'm doing an entertainment drama, which of course we produce in different dialects, right? Like we've done an entertainment drama in Ibibio where people listen and they enjoy, right? I've done an entertainment drama kind of during the lockdown, Avon, where someone was trying to ask a lady out but couldn't get to do that to the end before their flight was over. It was an entertainment-driven drama. I didn't want to pass any message aside from, have fun, enjoy, laugh about it, right? So that was an entertainment drama. But we've done more serious dramas, and the approach to them are very different. a bit to me, right? Because if I'm doing an entertainment drama, I'm just doing this to make people laugh, and I need to find out what looks natural but is funny. If you pay attention to it, right? So I make people laugh. I push it at that angle, and there are some production, like if I'm working for NGO, creating content for NGOs, what I do is I need to get to the community, find out what people are passing through. I understand their story. We do workshops a lot of times too. We do workshops that last us up to 2 weeks, a week thereabouts. We find out what this is. We write, we storyboard. There are lots of little elements involved in radio drama production. We storyboard. We see if the story is actually natural. Do you think this can happen? Really, can this happen? And we figure out, yes, it can happen. Oh, no, it can't happen this way. Or this way looks so dramatic. It looks so mechanical. Can we make changes? Can we make it so natural? And we do all of those. Those are just the elements, the things involved in production of radio drama for me. That's the approach I pursue radio drama for me. Yeah.
As a producer who experiences different traits among talents and presenters, how do you stay focused in the face of clashes during a production?
I've worked with a lot of presenters, and I have worked with a lot of actors. You know, people from different places. People from different places who have different mindsets, who have different drive for something. So the approach. For me, I always think first about my relationship with people. So every single person on my set, the last production we did, we had 70 people on set. Every single person on the set, I have a personal conversation with them. I have a set of producers, right? A set of producers, people who have worked with me for more than 2 years now. And in the process, they've learned how to produce, how to direct, how to cast and all of that. So we try to build a personal relationship with everybody who are on our set. As long as you're on our set, we build a relationship with you. This relationship is going to help us understand who you are. It's going to help us understand who that person is. It's going to help us understand what triggers a person's anger, right? Or what can we do that will make this person so excited? And in the process of doing that, we try as much as possible to work with that in mind. I won't purposely do something that is going to trigger that person's anger, because if I do that, then I'm going to have serious issues, right, in this. And also knowing these people's personalities also helps us to understand how to sort out issues when it arises, because somewhat truthfully, it has to happen. You know, someone will say, the way you're shouting at me while we're acting, I don't like it. But come on, it was supposed to be on the scripts. That's what is in the scripts, right? So he needs to shout at you that way. But people don't see it because people have different traits. People are from different places. People grow up differently. So people think differently. So we try as much as possible to understand. I try as much as possible too, as well as my teammates, to understand exactly what someone is going through, to understand what triggers someone's anger, to understand what makes someone happy, right? The moment we understand this part, it makes it very easy and sweet for us. That's how it works for me.
Now, a producer has toys. He has his favorites. I know I have mine. But what tools do you work with as a producer?
There are lots of tools out there that people are using to do this work. And sometimes you ask yourself, how more? Since I don't know this tool, it'd be like seeing over work. Let me give you one. While I was studying production of radio dramas, people told me I'm not going to succeed without using Pro Tools. Pro Tools is like the industry standard for a lot of British guys and other guys around there. I understand that part pretty well, right? But I don't have Pro Tools. All my life, I don't use Audition or Adobe Audition to produce. And to God be the glory, I have mastered the tool. The tool is amazing, like amazing. Just understand what you're doing. So there's a popular quote people say, it's not about the tool, it's about what you are using the tool for, or it's about the skill set of whoever is using the tool. Well, it happens sometimes, but truth be told, if you don't use a good tool, you are wasting your time. For instance, you cannot say because they use Windows XP, Abby, on a system where they use 2 GB RAM, come to use Adobe Audition, say you go work well. It doesn't work that way, bro. You know? So what we do is simple. We use a tool that matches the system we need, meaning you need to invest in tools. If you don't invest in tools, it's not going to work. People have told me 1,001 times, Ike, don't buy a recorder. Record directly from your microphone to a DAW. Come on, man. It doesn't work that way if you're growing. You need to invest in tools. So what did we do? I started my media journey with Marantz. Then I used a Sony Pocket, right? That records on the go. And you need to come and sit down and extract. That, I used that. And at a point, I used Zoom. I was introduced to the Zoom. Well, BBC Media Action came around. I was introduced to Zoom. I used Zoom H5 a lot. That's where I started, Zoom H5. I used Zoom H5 for more than 4 years. And currently, I own a Zoom H6. It is an amazing tool I have ever used in my entire life. Zoom H6. It is so lovely. It has 4 channels. That you can use your microphone, that you can connect the microphone to. It comes with It comes with two microphones. The microphone I need to put on it, right? Like the built-in microphone, kind of. The microphone for Zoom, it comes in and it has a clip on top of it that I have to put the microphone on top. It has two of those, came with what I bought. And it has 4 channel for your microphone, your external microphone with cables. Right, so the two other microphones that I talked about are the attached microphones, the one you can attach, clip into it, and use directly. But currently, I'm running with a microphone that runs via a cable to this into the channel. One of the channel I'm using, channel one now, to record. So it has that. That's the tool I use, and I use an headphone. This headphone is called AKG K92. That's the headphone I'm currently using now for this recording. AKG K92. That's the headphone I'm using. So I use a dynamic microphone. I use a Behringer cable to my H6 Andy recorder, right? So if I'm doing outside recording, I use a boom mic. I use a boom mic, run it to the Zoom, and that way it's easy for us to run. That's actually what it works. That's how it works for me. Right, that's the tools that I use. And I use Adobe Audition. I love Adobe Audition. I've used Adobe Audition CM. I started with Adobe Audition 3.0 alongside Cool Edit, because the radio station I worked with use a lot of Cool Edit, more of Cool Edit than Adobe Audition. But I used Adobe Audition 3.0. Then I came over and I switched as Adobe progresses. And I'm currently using Adobe Audition 2019, CC 2019. That's the Adobe Audition I'm currently working with right now. Yeah, and it's amazing. Those are just pretty the tools that I use currently for my production. Yeah.
Kemini, you're the host of Sit with EK on the Nectar podcast platform. I see it running on Facebook. It's got an awesome page. It's an awesome studio. I often envy the equipment you guys have. Let's talk about podcasts. What do you think about podcasts in Niger?
What I think about podcasts. Podcasts are amazing on-the-go radio formats that plays on whatever devices you want it to play on. I think it's actually the future of broadcasting. Everybody now is a broadcaster with that. Everybody can share their ideas, can share their stories. Everybody can now say, look, this is who I am with a podcast. Podcasts are amazing. Yeah, they're amazing. Will podcasts actually replace radio? I doubt. To be very sincere, no, it won't. But it has reduced a lot of listeners to radio because radio is dynamic. But a lot of people think radio is not dynamic, especially the older folks who has been in radio for a long while. They feel anything can go. But radio is very dynamic. And since radio is dynamic, you cannot do away with the number of people that gets to listen to a radio station or gets to listen to certain programs, right? But podcasts replacing radio, it might look like the future of it. But I think if radio stations in Nigeria do not want to be pushed aside, right, they need to upgrade. They need to be able to run podcasty kind of content. You know what I mean? Is they need to loosen up a bit and share the content that people want to listen to, right? Yeah. So podcasts might not really replace radio, but it can enhance radio to a lot of other dimensions. That's what I think. Yeah.
Let's get back to radio now. Let's talk about the regulatory body that we have, the NBC. Now, how would you describe their role, especially in light of recent events, NSAS last year, the Twitter ban this year, and God knows if anything else is coming?
NBC, the umpire himself. NBC, they're like our politicians right now, to be very sincere. I've had my own alterations with the NBC over a period of time. One love. I love those guys, man. First of all, you need a regulatory body to keep any industry going, any industry that is serious going. Radio is one serious industry, and regulatory bodies are actually helping this industry grow. But of recent, to be very sincere, of recent, I'm going to say my mind, of recent, the NBC has become a political tool to shut down a lot of people. Nah, it shouldn't be that way. NBC, they ban you, but they know they follow their code. Do you understand? It's so annoying. Like, you have a code. Now, this code, they carry you this thing, but you know they follow them. No, doesn't happen that way. Do you understand? So, the moment the umpire, and they call him himself because now guy, he get pride, stupid pride like this. So, it doesn't really make sense when you trample on the same codes you place. It doesn't make sense when you're trying to kill the thing you're promoting. For instance, let's talk about the Twitter ban a bit. The NSAS, right? They didn't allow radio stations to talk about the NSAS. If you talk about the NSAS, so God be the glory, you are supporting the SAS, the NSAS movement. That's what NBC actually passed on. At the same time, the NBC also, with the Twitter ban, they wrote letters across radio stations that no radio station should be using Twitter with VPN or whatever. But whatever the case is, NBC should be like the umpire trying to be a watchdog to protect the industry as well as the consumers. Yeah, because the code of conduct by NBC protects the consumers in a way. Not to hear vulgar words, not to hear things that are not morally or building, right? At the same time, protecting the media house with codes. But of almost like this, we don't lose hope, to be very sincere. I'm saying my mind, NBC know they try these days. Even like I said, they don't buy them over. Like, they are not supporting us. They're not doing this. Have you listened to the code, the new code that NBC is doing? Seriously, I've given up on them. I've just given up on this. Whatever it is, we just know that there are codes we need to follow, and we need to follow those codes. But last, I don't understand again, Sha. Because you go to some states, and they are NBC codes. But some stations, they do what in non-day the NBC code. What the NBC code has not given approval for, they are doing them, right? So it doesn't really make sense to us. That's just it, man.
Now, which one do you enjoy doing more? Radio hosting, podcast hosting, or production? And why?
I enjoy production more. Why? I'm much of the behind-the-scene guy, right? I'm much of the behind-the-scene guy. I love having an idea of what this will sound like and then try to create it, right? I create it. It's sweeter to me than me being in front of the microphones, being put on the spotlight. A lot of people will be presenters, you understand, now AP. They get all the fame, popularity day, but Banu day. You understand now? When I did low-key back in, nobody know me. Nobody know me now. Now, so it be. So, I feel just waka, enter road, do what I want to, you know, catch me for my voice, right? But when I used to be a presenter, my social media bios, of course, were also bearing that. And you realize that a lot of people will see you and you know a lot of people. You might walk into Plaza, for instance, you know, you're trying to go and buy one or twos, right? And people will see you and know, Ike Alpha now, this is one I came in here. But being a producer, being behind the scene, it's so sweet. So sweet. I enjoy it. Aside from the creative rush, right? And the ability to be out of spotlight. I love being out of spotlight. Seriously. If I have a way to allow someone else be doing all of those spotlighty things for me, I'll be so grateful for it. Yeah, that's why I love production more.
Tell me your three worst pet peeves.
Pet peeve. What's in this thing that means, Seth? Pet peeve. What do you mean? Something where they vex me. I be something where I know they like. I don't like kurokere person. You understand? Try this straightforward. If this thing not like this, if now black he be, tell me it's a guy. Now black he be. Let us understand. I don't like kurokere person. That's one. Two. What else do I not like? What else do I not like? No lie. Lies. Lies no good. People just do the lie. Eh? And what else do I not like? Oh, pet peeve. Ah, or more. Plenty things there with to lie, but it's make I mention three. I don't mention two. Why is it that when once you ask someone a question, right? It looks like it takes a lot of time to think about it. But normally, you get some things, why not? Like pride. If you are too proud, it's not bad to be proud. Yeah, be proud and loud. But if you are too proud, I don't feel comfortable with it. Yes, so that's it. Three, I don't mention it.
What's your favorite meal?
Ha, bah. This guy don't chop for his life. So in every state or every new city I get myself into, right, I try as much as I can to eat what they pay, what they have. On one of those journeys, right, I went to Owerri for a class to teach radio production. And one of my friend, Mira Amarachi, one of the best sports presenters in Owerri, took me out and then we went and we had amala. Oh my, I love amala. Hey, amala is great. So, but is it my favorite? I don't know, but amala is great. I love afang well. I eat a dikanikong. I love ekpankukwo. I love the black soup of the Bini people in Edo State. I love egusi. I love oha soup. I hate oha in Enugu. The old man put two meats for me, collects me extra money. I didn't know, but I love oha. I tell her, man, she give me extra. Right? I don't know, but do I have favorites? What really do I go out for? I don't really have. I eat a lot of things. I eat almost anything. As long as people eat it, I try it as much as possible to also consume it, as long as it doesn't kill. Yeah. Favorite, I don't really have one. Yeah. I love beans too. Hey.
What's your favorite drink?
What's my favorite drink? Water. Shall we drink water? Water and a drink. I love water. Yeah, because I don't understand what these people are mixing again to sell for us in the name of carbonated drinks, right? You open something, you go, psh, you don't know, right? So I prefer something natural. So I would love to do more of fruits squeezing, right? Water. Amazing for me. It works for me. Yeah.
What legacy do you want to leave behind?
Legacy, where I won't leave behind. Legacy. Hey, legacy that I want to leave behind. Ekemini was a great guy who loved people a lot, who shared joy as much as he could, and always try as much as he could to make people happy. A great radio producer, produced amazing content, and we love the content he created. That's the legacy I want to leave. I want to leave a legacy that people say, look, there was someone in this country, there was someone in Africa where you could go up to and he'll produce amazing radio drama productions. That's the legacy I want to leave. And everybody where they're around me, Omo, I just want to make everybody learn, make everybody make things happen, make everybody try to do stuff. That's the legacy I want to keep.
Thank you, Ekemini Joseph. It's been a pleasure having you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, it was amazing having this conversation with you, Tony. Certainly we are going to do this some other time.
If you're wondering who came up with my podcast theme music,
I'm pretty sure it's Techzilla.
That's right, and you can find him on social media, links in the show notes. Subscribe to the Tony Doe podcast wherever it is you listen to your favorite podcasts. And if you like what you hear, do buy me a coffee. The link is in the show notes. Thank you for listening.